Tonight our learning is sponsored by Ronnie Stern in memory of his grandmother, Adol Bas Shmuel Zifarno Levracha. We're going to conclude our Shaila of the week this week, tonight, because tomorrow I actually have a wedding. And we were talking about the question of attending weddings during Sfiras Omer. Now, of course, tomorrow's wedding will not be a problem for me because it will already be after my period of Nihugei Avelos have ceased for Sfiras Omer. But our question, of course, was, let's say somebody is observing the first half of Sfira, and there's a wedding during the first half of Sfira, can you attend? We got finished saying that according to Moshe Feinstein, if one wants to switch from year to year between different minhagim, one can do so. Certainly if you maintain the latter half, or you called what we've been labeling the interspersed theory of the Nihugei Avelos of the customs of mourning Sfiras Omer, then you'd be able to switch interchangeably. You could interchange your minhag from year to year, and there would certainly be no problem. However, Moshe said that if you maintain the first half ordinarily, like the opinion of, then according to the opinion of the Gra, you would not be able to switch to the latter half. According to the Bach, you would. Moshe said, lechatchila, one should try to be machmir for the Gra and not change. If one needs to, then he said, b'shas atchak, you can. Now, what if you just want to attend a wedding? Let's say I'm going to observe my customs of Sfiras Omer. I'm going to observe the first half. This happened to me, and I think it happens to many of us from year to year. But I want to attend somebody's wedding who's observing a different part of Sfiras Omer than I am. What is the halacha in that circumstance? Moshe Feinstein argues that it is mutter to do so, and that there is no problem of attending somebody else's wedding during Sfiras Omer. He notes a tshuva of the Chassam Sofer, who seems to say that it is problematic. The Chassam Sofer says that if you, remember, the Chassam Sofer was in Europe, in Pressburg, so he's talking about a scenario where you had a wedding in two different towns. Again, that's not the reality that we experience nowadays. Now, in the cosmopolitan Jewish community of America, we have people within the same community observing different parts of Sfiras Omer. The Chassam Sofer's reality was you're invited to a wedding in two different towns. One is during the first half of Sfira, one's during the second half of Sfira. The Chassam Sofer seems to say that you should try to have a Masader Kiddushin who's not going to be the same Masader Kiddushin at both places because it's going to create a Tarte disaster. But Ramosha really takes issue with that sheet of the Chassam Sofer. He ultimately argues that it's not really what the Chassam Sofer means, but he says as follows. He says, it seems strange to say this. His basic argument is the whole minhag, the whole prohibition of marriage during Sfiras Omer is not attending a marriage. It's not being mesameach chasam nekala at somebody else's marriage. It is getting married. That's the prohibition. So it's not a problem to be attending someone's marriage during Sfira Minhag A and then somebody else's wedding during Sfira Minhag B, because there's no prohibition on those who are attending the wedding. He actually brings an interesting proof. His proof is as follows. We'll read it inside. Once again, this is the Igros Moshe. It's an Orach Chaim Chelak Aleph Siman Kuf Nun Tes. He says as follows. Here's his proof. Ha'osins udas nisuin b'chol zayin hayom kishanasa perosh chodesh iyar. He says the following. Let's say you're observing the second half of Sfira. So you're allowed to get married up until Rosh Chodesh Iyar. Let's say you get married on Rosh Chodesh Iyar, according to those who say it starts after Rosh Chodesh Iyar. Let's say you get married on Erev Rosh Chodesh Iyar. After the wedding, what do you have? You have 7 days of Sheva Brachos. Those are extending into your period of Sfiras Omer. We don't say that you need to get married a week before in order so that you can have the Shivas Yemei Mishta, the Sheva Brachos, before Rosh Chodesh Iyar commences. You're allowed to get married on Erev Rosh Chodesh and then have your 7 days of Sheva Brachos, despite the fact that they are extending into your Nihugei Avelos. And Ramosha says as follows, Nihisha Alachasim Da'akala in La'asor Mishum Shehu Yom Tov Shalahem. He says, look, I get why the Chassan and Kala are allowed to celebrate. For them, it is considered a Yom Tov. That entire period of 7 days is considered like a Yom Tov for the Chassan and Kala. So that Yom Tov that they have, that mitzvah of Simcha that they have, is going to push aside the customs of Sfiras Omer. He says, Aval al ha'achirim, but for everybody else who's assembled there, she'eino Yom Tov shalahem, it's not their Yom Tov. The Yom Tov is exclusively for the Chassan and Kala. He says, "V'leika aleim chi of simcha, echas smechem b'seudos hanisuin b'mei hasfira." He says, "So how are they allowed to go to a sheva brachos? That we don't find anybody prohibiting sheva brachos during the beginning of that period of mourning for Sfiras Omer. You want to tell me the Chassan and Kala can celebrate? That's because it's their yom tov. Everybody else, they don't have a yom tov. Why are they allowed to celebrate?" He says, "Clearly, it is because they are not prohibited in the first place." He says, "Elavad eisha iser hu rak ala Chassan v'akala levad." The prohibition is just on the bride and groom, the ones who are getting married. And if it's mutter for them, because it's their Yom Tov, there's going to be no iser for everybody else. There's going to be no prohibition for anybody else. They would be allowed to participate in their Seudas Nisuin. He goes on to say, he brings another argument to say that we have a halacha that even if they got married improperly, let's say they really shouldn't have gotten married during Sfira because it was during their town's custom of Svira, and they got married anyway. It was inappropriate for them to do so. We still paskin that we don't punish them for it. There's no knas. There's no kind of fine, or we don't punish them in any way for the fact that they got married at a time in the calendar when they really should not have been hosting a wedding. And Rav Moshe argues there's no greater knas, there's no greater punishment to them than to have a wedding where nobody's going to be able to come because they can't join in the simcha because of their customs of mourning. So he makes the argument to say that even during your period of mourning, even your Sphira period, when you are observing those Nihugi Avelos, you should be able to attend the wedding. Benimta, Sheb in New York, Uchadome, Shemutarin Lasos, Nisuin, Apa, Open, Shem Tarti, the Sasri, Dehem, Kishte Hayaros. He says, certainly in a case like New York, where again, lots of people have different Minhagim within the same community, Shein Lahachmir, Apla, Gon, Rabbein, Mishulam, Rishoin, Gam, Oso, Hamasadr, Kidushin, Fosan, Akruim, Lios, Pishteyan. It is mutter for you to attend the wedding, even though it is during your Nihugi Avelos. And that is the Psak Alach Lamaisa that is widely followed. We should not be changing our Minhag of Sphira year to year, unless it is Shazat Chakadol, certainly if you generally observe the first half. But if you happen to have a wedding during the first half, I think it has become common practice to rely on this Psak of Rav Moshe, that one can indeed attend the wedding and engage in Simchas Chasam Nekala, even during Sfiras HaOmer.